is a commercial-free, streaming on demand presentation from 92.9 WBPM.
Somebody I introduced to you.
In 1967, there was a social, sexual, and fashion revolution led by long-haired, bearded, sandal-wearing youth carrying flowers. Their mantra was peace and love. Those who weren't part of it didn't understand why a lot of these kids wouldn't fight in their very unpopular war in Vietnam, and they wondered if these kids had lost their minds. On June 1st of that year, four young men from Liverpool released an album that turned music upside down and inside out and reflected these changing times. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Getting so much better all the time. It's getting better all the time.
The group, of course, was the Beatles. Rolling Stone magazine has named Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band the greatest album of all time. The Beatles, along with producer George Martin and the Engineers, took recording to a dizzying new height with a myriad of technical innovations while mixing classical and Indian instruments into an intoxicating brew of sound, a sonic Alice in Wonderland, so to speak. Of this must have brought an extra helping of satisfaction to the Beatles, especially after what the critics were saying just before they released this landmark album in 1967. Paul McCartney.
Just before Sgt. Pepper, the critics had written us off at that point. They said, oh, they've dried up, you know, they're not going to come up with anything new ever again. So we were, guess what? We got something coming, and you're going to blow your tiny minds.
George Harrison.
Track by track, it was exciting at that time. Nothing like it had ever been.
Ringo Starr.
Sgt. Pepper did its thing. It was the album of the decade, of the century maybe. It was very innovative, great songs. Glad I was on it.
John Lennon.
It's called the first concept album. It doesn't go anywhere. Mr. Kite, all my contributions have absolutely nothing to do with this idea of Sgt. Pepper and his band. But it works, because we said it worked, and that's how it appeared.
June 1st of 2017 marked the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. As befits this momentous occasion, the Beatles have released five different lavish Sgt. Pepper anniversary editions. A single disc of the original album featuring the new stereo mix by Giles Martin, son of the late Beatles producer George Martin. A deluxe 2-CD release where the second disc adds 18 tracks, including previously unreleased complete takes of the album's 13 songs, a 2-disc deluxe vinyl edition, and a super deluxe 6-disc release with 33 additional recordings from the studio sessions, along with the original mono and new surround sound mixes. The DVD and Blu-ray discs include a previously unreleased documentary on the making of the album. On top of all of that is a 144-page hardcover book illustrated with rare photographs, reproductions of handwritten lyrics, Abbey Road Studios documentation, and original Sgt. Pepper print ads. Wow. Paul McCartney.
I did take part in it. Most of the work was done by Giles Martin, George Martin's son, and his team. And I come at the end and I kind of listen to it and I say, no, 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 yeah. I mainly just said yeah, because it really was just so good. I was very happy. The thing is, it's very clear. So, whereas the old mix, it was just a sort of general mix. This time, you can hear every little instrument. And it was quite surprising to hear, oh, I've forgotten we did that. So check it out. Sgt. Pepper. Was it really 50 years ago today? Can't be true.
Hi, I'm Dan Neer. Over the next hour and a half, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, George Harrison, Ringo Starr, George Martin, Giles Martin, David Gilmour, Phil Collins, and Steven Van Zandt will take us back and through the recording and impact of this stellar work of art. We begin with the late Sir George Martin talking about the first song recorded for the sessions that was not included on the album's original release.
On the 24th of November 1966, a Thursday, the Beatles came into Abbey Road Studios to start the new album. And the track they started with was a song called Strawberry Fields. And the way it was done that night, that Thursday, was virtually complete. We actually made virtually a master. And it was the way I heard it originally when John sang it to me. But in fact, it never appeared like that, and no one's ever heard that one since. We left that evening, and John thought about it, and Paul thought about it over the weekend. And on Monday, we tackled it again, quite differently. John decided he wanted it in lower key. It had an introduction for the first time, which was played on that weird instrument, the mellotron, and became a really key feature.
Welcome to the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, All Access.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Field. Standing all you see, it's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out. It doesn't matter much to me. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real. Strawberry Fields forever. No one I think is in my tree. I mean, it must be high or low. That is, you can't, you know, tune in, but it's all right. That is, I think it's not too bad. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever. Always know, sometimes think it's me, but you know, I know when it's a dream. I think I know, I mean, yes, but it's all wrong. That is, I think I disagree. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever. Strawberry Fields forever. Strawberry Fields forever.
Stellar new stereo mix of Strawberry Fields Forever, one of the multiple versions you can now find on the deluxe and super deluxe 50th anniversary versions of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, out right now. For their first 3 years and seven albums, the Beatles slogged it out on the road, recording and touring and recording and then touring again, while their concert audiences screamed and squealed a deafening volume. George Martin.
Pepper started because of their being fed up with touring, and they wanted to spend more time in the recording studio.
Ringo Starr.
No, we were absolutely fed up with touring. And why we were fed up with touring, because we were turning into such bad musicians. because the volume of the audience was always greater than the volume of the band. And I mean, just for me personally, on stage, I mean, there was no chance in hell I could do a fill because it would just disappear. So I ended up just hanging on to the offbeat and watching the other guys' bums and trying to lip read to see where we were, you know.
George Martin.
The next song we did actually was When I'm 64, but that was one that harked back quite a long way. The one immediately after that was curiously allied to Strawberry Fields. It was Penny Lane.
They were always asking me about classical instruments and the orchestra, you know, and they got to know the instruments pretty well. But Paul, one evening, watched on television a Bach Brandenburg Concerto. He came to me the following day and said, "Great sound I heard last night. It's tremendously high trumpet. So can't we use it?" "Of course we can." It never occurred to me, but it occurred to him.
The song that Piccolo Trumpet was going to be used on was the third song the Beatles recorded during the Sgt. Pepper sessions, Penny Lane, Paul McCartney.
Penny Lane was a place that John knew about. So, you know, for me to just say I've got a song called Penny Lane, he knew exactly what I was doing. Similarly, Strawberry Fields, I knew about that from when I used to go and visit him when we were kids. It was the place right opposite him where he used to go and play in the garden kind of thing. So it was kind of a magical childhood place for him. And we transformed it into the sort of psychedelic dream. It's like everybody's magic place instead of just ours. We took them from being little localized things to made them more global.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car. The little children laughing him behind his back, and the banker never wears a Mac in the pouring rain. Very strange. Penny Lane is in my ears and in my eyes. There beneath the blue suburban skies I sit and meanwhile back in Penny Lane. Fireman with an hourglass, and in his pocket is a portrait of the Queen. He likes to keep his fire engine clean. It's a clean machine. The shelter in the middle of the roundabout, a pretty nurse is selling poppies from a tray, and though she feels as if she's in a play, she is anyway. In Penny Lane the barber shaves another customer. We see the banker sitting waiting for a train, and then the fireman rushes in from the pouring rain. Very strange. Penny Lane is in my ears and in my eyes. There beneath the blue suburban skies I sit a meanwhile back. Penny Lane.
Beautiful new stereo mix of Penny Lane. You can now find that on the deluxe and super deluxe releases of the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Once the Beatles decided to stop touring, they all took some time off. It was during this time that Paul came up with a stroke of genius for their next record.
It was going to be boring to just make another Beatles album, and we'd stopped touring. We now have this huge liberated opportunity. We could do anything we wanted. I went on a trip to America and came back and had this idea on the plane. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It was all very Uncle Joe's medicine show with dancing bears and Elixir of Life, you know, those kind of jokey titles. Then everything about the album will be imagined from the perspective of these people. So it doesn't have to be us. It doesn't have to be the kind of song you want to write. It could be the song they might want to write.
It was like we'd in another phase of our career. You know, we'd done all the live stuff and that was marvellous. Now we were into being more artists. We got more freedom to be artists.
I get by with a little help from my friends. from my friend.
The new stereo mixes of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and With a Little Help from My Friends, just part of the 50th anniversary release of the Beatles' masterpiece. George Martin on Ringo's With a Little Help from My Friends.
John and Paul always wrote a song for Ringo in every album. With a Little Help from My Friends proved to be the song. And Paul wrote that song and wrote it beautifully, simply, with just five notes that Ringo had to carry. Terribly simple, terribly effective.
When Paul first presented With a Little Help from My Friends to Ringo, the drummer had a problem with some of the lyrics.
Sgt. Pepper, we were trying to do an opera, probably in those days, the first rock opera. And it went from Sgt. Pepper to Billy Jean, Little Help from My Friends. And the interesting thing, the first line was, what would you do if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and throw tomatoes at me? You know, very vaudeville. I said, I'm not singing that. I'm not singing damn tomatoes. We've just been bombarded with jelly beans. You know what I mean? I was not taking any chances. So I was not going to sing that. And anyway, we got those two and they sort of run together. And that was going to be the start of this rock opera. And then after that, I was like, let's just do tracks, you know. And that's what the Beatles were like. They were a bit like that. We had these great, we'd start and, you know, we've got this big idea. Oh, well, let's just make music.
Paul and John changed the lyrics for Ringo and history continued as it was supposed to be. The 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band All Access will be right back. But as we go to break, here's Stephen Van Zandt of the E Street Band with his thoughts on the album.
Sgt. Pepper was one of the most extraordinary moments in all of cultural history, never mind music history. I mean, it was the most united Western culture has ever been, as far as I'm concerned. Uniting around a cultural phenomenon like that. I would walk down the street right by where I live now, McDougal Street, and it would be coming out of this restaurants, it was coming out of the record stores, it was coming out of the clothing stores, the car went by, you could hear it. Everybody with that first week of June was playing that record.
Oh, no.
92.9 WBPM with another hour of the biggest hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Do not start with Alfie! Do not start with Alfie!
More music, shorter breaks from 92.9 WBPM.
Hi, this is Giles Martin. Welcome back to the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
All Access. As you just heard, when Sgt. Pepper's was first released in June of 1967, it seemed that everyone under the age of 30 was listening to it. Almost immediately, stories were created about the hidden meaning behind the songs. One notable one was about Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Critics and fans alike circulated a false story that the title was a veiled reference to LSD. Here's Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr to put the record straight.
The real story about Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was I showed up at John's house one day, and he said to me, look at this great drawing Julian's just done. And he showed me, I remember it very well. It was a kid's drawing, and kids always have people floating around like Chagall does in all these things. They're always just floating. I think it's just something to do with the kids. Don't realize people have to be put on the ground.
I've seen the painting. But this little kid does. I don't know if you've got kids, you know, but they just slap paint everywhere and say it's a painting. And of course, we put them in frames and put them on the wall. And and it was just this crazy little kid's painting. And what is that?
John had said, what's it called then? And Julian had said, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. You know, as you do with kids. And John went, ding!
George Martin.
And there's a side of John that I quite often saw. I mean, his own books in his own right and so on were full of fun, of misusing words. And painting pictures with words. And his admitted fondness for Lewis Carroll, as well as Dylan Thomas, shows up in Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, with marmalade skies and looking glass ties and so on. You do see a weird world of strange people.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Celebrate flowers of yellow and green. where rock and roll's people eat marshmallow pies. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you away. Climb in the back with your head in the clouds and you're gone. Plasticine pauses with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile, the girl with kaleidoscope
conjuring up so many fanciful images, the amazing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds from the 50th anniversary releases of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
It is getting better, take one.
Here's George Harrison describing the Beatles' routine of arriving at Abbey Road Studios to record the album.
In the morning, we drive into Abbey Road in John's blacked-out Rolls Royce, fall out of the back of the car into the studio.
Paul McCartney on one of the many reasons he enjoyed writing songs with John Lennon.
I'd sing a sort of sweet line and then I'd find John doing a sort of sarcastic line. It's getting better all the time, couldn't get much worse.
It's getting better all the time. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers had taught me weren't cool.
Getting better.
Getting Better, from the 50th anniversary newly remixed, remastered, and expanded editions of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. While the Beatles were recording the album, Paul McCartney had a very surprising visitor come to his home in London.
You've got to take yourself back to the 60s. I was just at home one day, and this guy came to the door. I said, yeah. He said, I've come to see you. I said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus Christ. So I said, well, you'd better come in then. The atmosphere and the times were a little bit like, well, you know, what's to say he wouldn't show up in London at that time? So anyway, he seemed like a nice bloke and everything. He was full of kind of good vibes and good thoughts and everything, so we just talked about all of that and stuff. I said, look, I've got to go to this session. We're making a record. Do you want to come along? So I brought him along after we had our tea and then introduced him to everyone and said, he says he's Jesus Christ and this is Jesus Christ. He sat over in the corner. We recorded Fixin' a Hole that evening. Then we used to sort of just do the track in the 3 hours that you had, pretty much. He was great. He just sat in the background. So I was kind of just, that was my big memory of Fixin' a Hole, you know. I never heard from him again, and he was a great guy anyway. So, I mean, that's the bottom line.
That's consistent with his personality, you know, there.
Yeah. Consistent with his reputation.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops.
Gorgeous, newly remixed stereo version of the wistful daydream, Fixing a Hole, from the 50th anniversary release of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. More All Access with John, Paul, George, and Ringo on this monumental album in a few minutes. But as we go to break this time, here's Pink Floyd's co-founder Roger Waters' thoughts on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Sgt. Pepper, well, of course, when we were making our first record in Studio 3 at Abbey Road, they were making Sgt. Pepper in Studio 2. So I actually popped in very occasionally and listened to what they were doing, which was pretty amazing. But when the record came out, we were driving a Zephyr 4 up north to do a gig somewhere, and they were going to play the whole thing on the radio. We pulled into a lay-by and listened to it, the whole record. And I think Sgt. Pepper changed everything for everybody involved in music. The Beatles gave the rest of us permission to write from our own experience. And that was new. That hadn't been done before.
The Station with Bob Miller in the Morning and the biggest hits of all time. 92.9 WBPM.
Thank you for joining our celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, All Access. I'm Dan Neer. The range of styles and instruments on Sgt. Pepper's is staggering. There are full orchestras, Indian instruments like dalruba and sitar, bassoons, and yes, harp. Here's Sheila Bromberg, who was summoned by a fixer, or as we might know them in America, an agent, to come and play her instrument for a session that would become a part of musical history.
This fixer phoned me up, said, am I free from 9 o'clock at night till midnight? And I thought, do I really want a session from 9 till midnight? But it was Alec, and he gave me a lot of work, so I didn't want to turn him down, I didn't want to upset him. He didn't tell me at the time that it was for the Beatles. You never knew who you were going to play with. And I was sitting here at 8:30. Suddenly, a piece of music was plonked on my music stand. I gave it a brief look. Oh, yeah, right. And then this voice said, well, what you got on the dust? Meaning, what's written on the music? I recognised the Liverpool accent, turned round. Of course, it was Paul McCartney. Well, first of all, I played exactly what was written. Then I stopped and he said, no, I don't want that. I want something. I think he had an idea in his head of what he wanted it to sound like, but he couldn't describe it, he couldn't express it. And he was waiting for somebody to bring it out of the air. After each time we played it, Paul McCartney, we'd hear from the controls, no, I don't want that, I want something. So we'd play it again. Came midnight, and the string section were really fed up. And eventually the leader, Eric Grunberg, tucked his violin under his arm and says, now it is midnight, we have to go home because we are working in the morning. So a voice from the control box said, well, I suppose that's that then. We all went home.
The elusive sound that Paul was searching for was an ingenious doubling of the sound of the harp from the very first take that Sheila played.
Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins, silently closing their bedroom door, leaving the note that she hoped would say more. She goes downstairs to the kitchen, clutching a handkerchief. Quietly turning the back door key, stepping outside, she is free.
We gave her most of our lives,
is leaving,
sacrificed most of our lives.
Oh,
we gave her everything money could buy.
She's leaving home after living alone for so many years.
Father snores as his wife gets into her dressing gown, up the letter that's lying there, standing alone at the top of the stairs. She breaks down and cries to her husband, Daddy, our baby's gone. Why would she treat us so thoughtlessly? How could she do this to me? We never thought of ourselves.
She's leaving.
Never a thought for ourselves.
Oh.
We've struggled hard all our lives to get by.
She's leaving home after living alone
by,
for so
by.
Many. Far away, waiting to keep the appointment she made, meeting a man from the motor trade.
She, what did we do that was wrong?
He's having.
We didn't know it was wrong.
Fun
is the one thing that money can't buy.
It's like watching a movie in your mind. She's Leaving Home, now reproduced in sonic splendor on the 50th anniversary editions of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
And of course, Henry the Horse dances the waltz.
Another John Lennon contribution to the magic of Sgt. Pepper's is being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, George Harrison.
We walked into an antique shop in Sevenoaks in Kent, and we were looking at what they had there, and John pulled out this thing that he found, which was said the benefit of Mr. Kite. And it was virtually all the lyrics to that song. That's how you do it. You know, you get ideas, you hear people say stuff, or so you hear a phrase that sounds good and you write it down and remember it. So I think he was just advanced for those days in his awareness of putting everything could be put into a song, you know.
George Martin.
When I saw it, it was hanging up in the hall of his house in Surrey. And it had everything that the song has on it. It had Henderson Twins and Pablo Panky's Fair, and all those words were written on the poster. It obviously inspired him to write a song about a fairground or a circus. He wanted to create a sound picture of what the song was all about. And he actually said to me, I want to smell the sawdust.
John Lennon.
I wrote that as a pure poetic job, to write a song. I was sitting there and I had to write because it was time to write, you know. And I had to write it quick because otherwise I wouldn't have been on the album. So I had to knock off a few songs. I knocked off it, Day in the Life, or my section of it, and Mr. Kite.
For the benefit of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on trampoline. The Hendersons will all be there, late of Pablo Frank is there, what a scene. Over men and horses, hoops and garters, lastly through a hogshead of real fire. In this way, Mr. K will challenge the world. The celebrated Mr. K performs his feat on Saturday at Bishop's Gate. The Hendersons will dance and sing as Mr. Kite flies through the ring. Don't be late. Let us K and H assure the public their production will be second to none. And of course, Henry the Horse dances the waltz. Mr. K performs his tricks without a sound. And Mr. H will demonstrate 10 somersets he'll undertake on solid ground. Ding ding, some days in preparation, a splendid time is guaranteed for all. And tonight, Mr. Kite is topping the bill.
Wildly creative reading of a poster being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, which you now can hear in a glorious stereo mix and in development via two previously unreleased earlier takes contained on the Super Deluxe 50th Anniversary version of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. More pepper with a side of curry when All Access takes control of your senses once again after this break.
Biggest hits of all time. 92.9 WBPM.
Check one.
Thanks for joining the festivities for the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I'm Dan Neer. The Beatles introduced sitar to their huge audience on the song Norwegian Wood from their 1965 album Rubber Soul. When it got to Sgt. Pepper's, they didn't use Indian instruments as flavor, but as the main ingredient, thereby exploding boundaries in pop music. Sitar master Ravi Shankar and George Harrison.
When George Harrison came to me, I didn't know what to think. But I found he really wanted to learn. I never thought our meeting would cause such an explosion.
I'd heard the name of Ravi Shankar, must have been around 1965. maybe 1966. The third time I heard this name, I went out and bought the record. It was strange because intellectually I didn't know what it was. It didn't make any sense to me, but somewhere inside of me, it made absolute sense. It made more sense than anything I'd ever heard before. Within You, Without You was just my way of trying to make a Western pop song using some of those instruments and some of those sounds. It was all an indulgence, really. I don't think they were even at the session, but I think they quite enjoyed the idea of having something that was a bit left field on the album.
Time will come when you
Within You, Without You by The Beatles from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Now out in five different configurations for the 50th anniversary. The Beatles felt completely free to do whatever they wanted in pursuit of their art for this album, which explains why they could follow the Indian mysticism of Within You, Without You with the vaudeville dance hall-like When I'm 64, and it felt perfectly natural. Paul McCartney.
I mean, when I started songwriting, it wasn't to write rock and roll. It was to write for Sinatra. It was to write cabaret. In fact, one of my first songs was When I'm 64. Which was da-da-da-da, party away, hey, bop, you know, it's big band stuff kind of thing. Your aims weren't set to sort of doing rock and roll. But when we started working together, I think I certainly, and I think John too, wanted to be a Rodgers and Hammerstein, a Lennon McCartney. We consciously wanted to be, you know, a team.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? By the fireside, Sunday mornings go for a ride, doing the garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear.
Sumptuous Giles Martin stereo remix of When I'm 64. You can find that on all of the five different 50th anniversary editions of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Because the Beatles and their team were inventing new sounds in the recording studio, the album took over 5 months to complete, a previously unheard-of amount of time for them. Ringo Starr.
It took a long time. And it took longer for me because I would do the basic backing track with the drums. And then it would be days or weeks, even months sometimes, to come back to the track and put on overdub like the hi-hat. Or listening again, there's lots of conga drums. You know, I'm not a percussionist. You know, that's another field of drums, but I'm on playing the congas and there's lots of maracas and all that stuff sort of came on at the end. So there was a lot of huge gaps. The biggest memory I have of Sgt. Pepper is I learned to play chess on it.
For the 50th anniversary newly created stereo mixes and the remixing of the alternate takes, the Beatles tapped Giles Martin, George Martin's son.
I think the biggest challenge is meeting expectations. Our job is to serve the band first up. And the legacy of my dad and Jeff Emerick, but also the public as well are expecting. So that's the biggest challenge, is trying to meet those expectations.
Rita off of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, now out in five magnificent versions to celebrate its 50th anniversary. Paul McCartney reveals a hidden joke, and we'll hear the pièce de résistance of Sgt. Pepper when All Access returns. Come on back.
Been some days in preparation, a splendid time is guaranteed for all. And tonight,
you know every song we play, because these are the biggest hits of all time. 92.9 WBPM.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the final part of our 50th anniversary celebration and behind-the-scenes look at the Beatles Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. We've heard how John Lennon was inspired by his son's drawings and a poster for a medieval circus. So are you surprised at where he got the inspiration for Good Morning, Good Morning? George Martin.
Well, Good Morning, of course, was inspired by a commercial, a breakfast commercial. I suppose that triggered something in John, which made him write the song. And again, he drew his inspiration from very mundane, ordinary things, like Time for Tea and Meet the Wife. Meet the Wife was a television serial. It kind of indicates the suburbanality of his songs and the very Englishness of the whole thing. Good Morning was typical of him, that it was of odd meters, but sounded perfectly natural. I mean, he would have a 3-4 bar, 4-4 bar, 5-4 bar, even without knowing it. It was to be a very hard-driving, punchy thing. The tune itself was quite simple. But it was full of accents all over the place. John wanted to finish this song with a collection of animal noises, starting off with a cock, identifying with a Kellogg's commercial, and then each animal was capable of either devouring or frightening the one before it. And we had a whole string of them here.
Boy, nothing to do, it's a
has changed, it's still the same. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning.
Everyone you see is full of life. It's time for tea and meet the wife.
Somebody needs to know the time. Glad that I'm here. Watching the skirt, you start to flirt. Now you're in gear. Go to a show, you hope she goes. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, and the reprise of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. These two songs are followed by one of the most amazing songs ever recorded, featuring John Lennon's verses and chorus, combined with a bridge by Paul McCartney. The two parts are joined by what must have seemed like an insane idea at the time to many, but it was something that the band and George Martin took pure joy in creating.
Day in the life, John and I sat down and he had this opening verse. I think he'd got the idea or we then took the idea from like the Daily Mirror or something.
So it had two stories. One was the Guinness child had killed himself in a car. That was the main headline story. On the next page was about 4,000 holes in Blackburn, Lancashire.
So the Blackburn, Lancashire, the holes, Albert Hall, all just got mixed, you know, just a little poetic jumble that sounded nice. Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. That was a little bit I had. It wasn't doing anything. And so we thought, well, that'd be good. We could put that in the middle. And we got the concept of sort of building it a little bit like a sort of mini operetta. It was obviously a gorgeous song when he brought it. But the moment I remember was when we got to a little bit that he didn't have, where we sort of said, I'd love to turn you on. And we like looked at each other and think like, we know what we're doing here, don't we? We're actually saying for the first time ever, like words like turn you on, you know, and which was in the culture anyway, but no one had actually said it on record yet.
Phil Collins on Ringo's drummings for A Day in the Life.
The drum fills on Day in the Life, I mean, in fact, very, very complex things. You know, you could take a great drummer from today and say, I want it like that, and they really wouldn't know what to do.
Ringo Starr.
Well, I was very lucky, though. I was surrounded by three frustrated drummers. All three of them can play drums, you know, but only one sort of style. There's one great moment with John, who played a record to me, wanted me to, well, play it like that, Ring. And I said, well, John, there's two guys. He says, well, don't let that bother you.
George Martin on connecting John Lennon's Part of a Day in the Life with Paul McCartney's.
We connected them with a series of empty bars on either side of Paul's section before we came back into John's as a reprise. And we knew we had to fill those bars with something sensational. And we didn't know what it was going to be yet. And in order to keep the 24 bars so that everybody knew when to come back in again, dear old Mal Evans stood by the piano counting the bars. And just to add further weight to it, he set off an alarm clock at the end of it to trigger everybody back into it again. They told me they wanted an orchestral climax to fill these empty bars, a giant orgasm of sound rising from nothing at all to the most incredible noise. And this is what we came up with.
I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was from the house.
A Day in the Life, which brings our all-access look at this history-making album to a close. Oh, wait a minute. By the way, if you have a dog around while you're listening to any of the 50th anniversary versions of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, you might be surprised at your pup's reaction to it. Paul McCartney.
We were doing Sgt. Pepper and things like that in the 60s. We always used to dream up little tricks. George Martin was sitting around telling us about sound, and we were always interested. These guys are scientists, you know, these engineers. George is saying, can you hear this? And he'd play us a frequency. We said, yeah, we can hear that. He said, well, try this. And it goes, oh, you go, I can't hear it now. And he said, well, that's better than me, you know, I can't hear it there, but your young ears can hear that. And he was explaining to us how it's there, these sounds, but we just can't hear them with the human ear. And he says, yeah, and the bass frequencies, he said, they can actually do funny things to you when it gets really down. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it was those kind of conversations that made us put on Sgt. Pepper, there is one of these high frequencies that we can't hear, but we're assured it is there and that dogs can hear it. I'm still waiting to be in a room where Sgt. Pepper's played, you know, and see a dog go, what? At that signal, you know, that was the joke anyway.
And finally, Giles Barton on what you can expect if you pick up one of the 50th anniversary versions of Sgt. Pepper's.
I would say you're closer to the band in the studios than you've ever been, because we are working from tapes that have never been mixed wrong, you know, because they'd copied the tapes across. And there's an immediacy to it. And, you know, it's almost like a time capsule. You're going back to when they were 24 and 25, and they haven't aged. The tapes haven't aged. They still sound beautiful. And you're going to hear Sgt. Pepper like you'd never heard it before. And I think you're going to hear it as they wanted you to hear it, because we followed their notes and listened to what they have to say.
There are 5 editions of the 50th anniversary release of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, a single disc of the original album featuring the new stereo mix, a deluxe 2-CD release where the second disc adds 18 tracks, including previously unreleased complete takes of the album's 13 songs, a 2-disc deluxe vinyl edition with the 13 previously unreleased complete takes, a digital version, and a super deluxe 6-disc release with 33 additional recordings from the studio sessions, most previously unreleased and mixed for the first time from the 4-track session tapes. There's also a DVD and a Blu-ray disc that include 4K restored original promotional films for Strawberry Fields Forever, Penny Lane, and A Day in the Life, plus the making of Sgt. Pepper, a restored, previously unreleased documentary film featuring insightful interviews with McCartney, Harrison, and Starr, and in-studio footage introduced by George Martin. Also included is a 144-page hardcover book illustrated with rare photographs, reproductions of handwritten lyrics, Abbey Road Studios documentation, and original Sgt. Pepper print ads. The 50th anniversary of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band All Access was produced in New York and New Jersey for Applecore Limited, Capital, and Universal Music Enterprises by Near Perfect Productions, all rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. If you missed any of it or you simply would like to hear it again, you can in a few weeks at www.dnnear.com. Special thanks to all the good folks at Applecore and to Jamie Hartley at Capitol Records. I'm Dan Meir. Thanks for listening. I never could be any other way.